Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Two swing and a miss. Whoa, he just overpowered him with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, that was a big-time Justin Verlander heater right there. Poppy was tardy on that baby.
Strike one pitch, fly ball, left field, way back down the line. Will it stay fair? Gone, a home run! Jose Iglesias absolutely bombed it down the line over the green monster. Runners will be off of the pitch. The 3-2 swing and a miss. He got him on strike.
97 with action. Holy mackerel. What a pitch by Justin Verlander. That's the Verlander we know.
The 1-1 swinging a soft little tapper back to the mound. And Francisco Rodriguez will throw to Miguel Cabrera, and the Tigers take game one.
Play fake. He goes up deep.
Deep, he's got Gordon. What a catch! All the way for a touchdown.
So the league, recognizing this, says, okay, we here, it's actually helpful for you to be around the team. Go ahead, get help. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I don't think he should have been allowed around the team. And I'm going to tell you why. Because there's a rule that's in place that states that that's not what's allowed. Tom Brady has to suffer the consequences. Okay, Josh Gordon has a problem. He was absolutely spectacular in 2013. Even though they're letting him back, he's going to be gone for the first four games of the year, just like Tom Brady. So let me get this straight. Tom Brady, model citizen and football ambassador. But because of deflated footballs, this dude is not only not playing four games, he's not even allowed to be with his teammates. He can't even have them over his house for dinner. But a dude in Josh Gordon, who I like, but with all due respect, got some issues. All of a sudden, usurps somebody like a Tom Brady.
Welcome to the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
The extravaganza is back indeed. It is 9 minutes after the hour of 3 o'clock. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Appreciate you joining us. You had a lot of stuff packed in that montage because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. Congrats to the Tigers. Cutting the Indians lead down to 5.5 as the Indians were off last night on a probably a much needed off day after a long, long road trip. Finally returning back to Progressive Field tonight where they will take on the Washington Nationals. So Tigers took advantage, got themselves a much-needed win against the Red Sox. So that, after a couple of losses to the White Sox, certainly congrats to them. We're not going to do a lot of baseball talk today. However, and the main reason for that is there are too many other things going on. We will get our baseball fix in at about 4:35 with Eric Steven of MLB.com. Or take that back, MLB's website. He's the senior editor of MLB. Which is a part of SB Nation. That's what I'm trying to say, as well as being a Dodgers writer for that SB Nation site as well. So we'll get into that coming up in about an hour and a half or so, maybe a little bit less, I guess. But we are going to talk, and I'm looking forward to talking about the trade deadline and the possible moves. Obviously, the Tigers win. We'll get into all of that with Eric at about 4:35. But between now and then, there are a lot of other things that we have got to get to. Coming up in about 25 minutes. Talk a little Buckeye football. Where's the fight song when you need it, Cushlin? I do not have the Buckeye fight song ready to go when I tease Paul Keels coming ahead at about 3:35. At least that's the plan. Paul is, of course, in Chicago. Big Ten Media Day is going on as everybody's getting a preview of the season. Urban Meyer speaking today. And Paul is going to be traveling, so we're hoping he's free at 3:35 to join us. If not, we'll get him later in the week. But he will, of course, be hosting the Buckeye Preview Show, which is today, what, 6 to 8 tonight, right?
Yep, 6 to 8 right here. They'll be doing that live from Chicago, all the crew. It's that time of year already.
I stalled for about 35 seconds for you to give me the Buckeye fight song, and you still don't have it? Come on, Cush.
You mean that?
There we go. How much time do you need for crying out loud? Jiminy Christmas, son. Yeah, I get a little Buckeye fix going on today, so I'm looking forward to that. We'll talk to Paul Keels. 4:05, we'll shift gears and get back into the NFL. In fact, I'm going to start there in a moment, but we're going to get into the NFL with Dennis Manilow from Cleveland on the Josh Gordon return. Josh Gordon is cleared to return week number 5 of this coming NFL season. That's provided he doesn't have any other setbacks, any other positive tests, or anything else stupid happens or doesn't happen to him or with him. And you never know, given the fact that this is Josh Gordon and he has had stupid things happening to him or because of him or whatever the case might be for pretty much his entire career from college to the professional ranks. But at any rate, he is eligible to come back on week number 5. The question now becomes is, will he be ready? And the other question is this fair? Is this the right outcome from the National Football League? Is this the right thing? They decided to bring him back in week 5, but they gave him permission to come back for all intents and purposes right now. And then he has to start the suspension when the actual season starts. So it means he gets to practice, he gets to train, he gets to go to camp. He gets to go to meetings, film room, et cetera.
And preseason games.
Preseason, that's right. So you get to you just got a little taste of First Take this morning, which I thought was very interesting between Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman about the NFL's rather lax policy here with respect to Josh Gordon. Generally speaking, when you are suspended, you don't get to be a part of the team. And that means you don't get to go to meetings, you don't get to go to the preseason games, training camp, practice, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what Tom Brady is facing with his 4-game suspension. And Roger Goodell decided to play hardball there, but go lenient on Josh Gordon. Is that the right thing? So Manilow will join us to talk about that, and I will talk about that in just a couple of moments. And then finally, as we just give you a little programming rundown, as I mentioned, Eric Steven. So Paul Keels, Dennis Manilow, then Eric Steven on Major League Baseball as we approach the trading deadline, now just 6 days away. All right. And by the way, there are other topics we don't have guests on, too, that I really want to dive into today. Some really, really good stuff, too, including comments from the Big 12 commissioner who sits on the NCAA's oversight committee. And that basically means the committee that kind of decides rules and that sort of thing. Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner, as we get ready for another season of college football, is addressing the ongoing issue of safety in football, particularly as it pertains to kickoffs. And Bob Bowlesby says, yeah, we want to get rid of kickoffs. In fact, if it weren't for onside kicks, which we'd have to figure out how to deal with, we'd probably have consensus that we get rid of kickoffs right now. They're just too unsafe. To which I reply, hey, Mr. Bowlesby, with all due respect, give me a freaking break. This isn't tiddlywinks. We're not playing cornhole here. We're not tossing beanbags. We're talking football. It's a physical game. It's a violent game. It's a speed game. It's a strength game. And if you don't want football to be football anymore, then you know what? Then just get rid of football. Either that or guys like you need to get out of football. The game is always going to have injuries. It's always going to involve injuries. Dangerous things are going to happen. And guess what? Every player goes into the game from the time they're a kid to the time they're in the pros, if they make that far, the very, very, very tiny, tiny fraction of a percent that do, they know that that's a part of the game. You don't get rid of the kickoffs because some people get hurt on them. You don't get rid of punts or punt returns because some people get hurt on them. You don't do that. It's the game. Stop trying to change our game. I would think that somebody in a position of authority such as his, meaning a commissioner of a major conference, would understand and appreciate that. Apparently, not so much. So I'm going to play a little bit of Bowlesby, and we'll get into that subject a little bit later on as well. All right. I want to start with Josh Gordon. And the main reason why is because, look, I'll just say point blank. I oftentimes on this program comment on other ESPN personalities' opinions on many of these sports issues that we talk about here. You know, the beautiful thing about having a local show right here in Toledo is that we get a chance to talk about things that are specific to our area, and we'll focus on Detroit sports and Cleveland sports, Michigan sports, and Ohio sports, and so on and so forth, because we're local. But it doesn't make us, of course, immune from the national conversations that drive sports talk, and I hear those things, and I want to have those conversations with you. In the course of commenting on other shows and other issues. I often quote Mike Golic, quote Mike Greenberg. Sometimes I agree with one or the other. Sometimes I disagree with both of them. And I sometimes quote guys on the TV shows, too, including First Take, which is a very interesting debate show. And it's got some personalities that have been very strong. Bayless isn't there anymore, but Stephen A. Smith still is. And now his partner in crime is Max Kellerman, which is fine. I don't care. I have ripped Stephen A. Smith a new one on many, many occasions for being completely, what I believe to be completely wrong, for being political, for being racial, for being misinformed on a lot of things. I have also had Stephen A. Smith's back on many, many things when I think he is spot on and right. Same thing goes with all of them. I've ripped Lebatard, I've praised Lebatard. I've ripped Golic, and I've praised Golic. Not that it means anything to them, because they don't know who I am. That's fine. They don't have to. But for the purposes of the conversation, I watch these shows and I listen. And I want to give Stephen A. Smith today one of the loudest can you dig it's that I can play on this show. Can you dig it is just something that I do if you've been listening to the show. It's from the movie The Warriors, and it just means you are freaking awesome.
Can you dig it?
Cushlin, I gave you an assignment about a year ago to watch the movie The Warriors. Did you ever get it done?
No, I did not.
You gotta be kidding me.
The dog ate my homework on that one.
You got to watch The Warriors. It's a cult classic from the late 70s. I want to say 79 maybe, but I can't swear to it. But it is a great movie. It's one of my favorite movies. Anyway, I give Stephen A. Smith a great big can you dig it this time around for one reason and one reason only. He took the touchy-feely, sensitive, oh, you don't understand, Josh Gordon has a problem. Josh Gordon has a... he's got an addiction, and he shouldn't be treated harshly when he has an addiction. He took that part of Max Kellerman, and he took him to the woodshed and said, enough about your whiny little he's got a problem things. A suspension is a suspension. Now, let me set the table before I play a couple of clips for you from this and then ask you for your thoughts on it. Setting the table this way. At issue is the fact that Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback arguably in the history of the sport, has been treated incredibly harshly by a blind, deaf, and dumb commissioner who for some reason has made it his mission to try to take some of the luster off of Tom Brady's career by pushing this ridiculous Deflategate thing to the levels he did, suspending Brady for 4 games personally, fining Bill Belichick, fining the Patriots, taking draft picks away, for something that is absolutely, positively a non-story. And it should have been from the get-go. After all of the legal wrangling and 550 days or whatever it was from the time of the alleged infractions against the Colts in a playoff game to the time when finally Tom Brady dropped his latest and last appeal to win the case, you know, to appeal his suspension in a federal court. Goodell has been going after Brady. Well, he finally got him when Brady decided to drop the appeal, and now he's got a 4-game suspension. And the terms of that 4-game suspension are the normal terms. When you are suspended, you don't get to be around the facility. You don't get to go to practice. You don't get to go to film rooms. You don't get to go to throwing sessions with your boys. You don't get to go and prepare for the season and then just sit out your suspended games and then go right back. He's not even allowed, and you'll hear some of this from Stephen A. pointing it out, to play catch with anybody who's on his team at his house. They can't be in the backyard tipping back a cold one and playing catch in the yard, or else it's a violation of the suspension rules. That's how ridiculously stupid, as in my mind, and naive, at the very least, that Roger Goodell is, okay? Fast forward now to yesterday's announcement that Josh Gordon has been reinstated. But he will be reinstated specifically in week number 5. Just coincidentally, it's happenstance that it's against those Patriots and Tom Brady. But Josh Gordon, who has been suspended multiple times in the NFL for substance abuse and violating the terms of the league's drug policy over and over and over again after getting kicked out of school because he wouldn't stop smoking weed and then getting kicked out of another opportunity at another school because he wouldn't stop smoking weed. And now in the NFL, he's been here for, what, 4 years? And he still can't stop smoking weed. Josh Gordon, after all of that, after missing the entire season last year, after being suspended for 10 games the year before, and 2 games the year before that, Josh Gordon is finally back, but it's in week five, except for the fact that Josh Gordon is allowed to go to all of those things that a guy like Brady is not. He's allowed to go to practice, allowed to go to preseason games, play in the preseason games, prepare himself for the season for the Browns, and then when the season starts, start serving his four-game suspension. And the question asked of the First Take crew was, is that fair? Is that the right thing to do? Now, let me just go right out in the, up front and tell you where how I feel about it. I guess you could tell from the Can You Dig It. I think it is insane that Josh Gordon gets to go to all of these things. And I speak to you as a lifelong Clevelander. I'm a Cleveland fan. Cushlin is a Cleveland fan. But I don't care if you're a Cleveland fan or not. I think fair is fair. Right is right and wrong is wrong. A violation has been charted and noted, multiple violations. Why isn't the harshest punishment being given to Josh Gordon here? And that is, your suspension will be lifted after week four in time for week five, but until then, the terms remain in place. You can't go to the facility and be a part of your team, just like Tom Brady can't. Why aren't those terms being honored? I think it is ridiculous that Gordon is being given a pseudo-suspension until the season starts. And again, I am rooting. Look, 3 years ago, he led the National Football League in receiving yards. He is a stud. I would love to have RG3 be able to throw to a stud in week number one. Certainly, well, I'll be happy when he gets to in week number five. Yes, I will be glad if he is on the same page with number 12 because RG3 and Josh Gordon got a chance to practice together, and I'm assuming RG3 will be the starter. If anybody thinks Cody Kessler is, I mean, come on. I would love to see that happen. A couple of Baylor guys reuniting, bang, bang. That's great. But I also believe in fairness and honesty, and I don't like when I see rules being usurped because of touchy-feely emotions from Roger Goodell, who just has all of the power, far more than he should. And that's exactly what Max Kellerman was defending with his touchy-feely nonsense today on First Take.
Should he be allowed to be around his team during the suspension?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I think that it's a recognition that, and this does not mean that you, that there's no personal responsibility for your own behavior. However, if you have a
yes, it
problem,
does.
And in the commissioner or in the league's opinion, being around the team can help you with what really is a personal issue, then that should be a good thing. It's good that they allow you to do it. Now,
so he's looking at this as a therapeutic issue, a therapeutic issue. If Roger Goodell and the team and his teammates believe that being around them will help him kick his habit, well, then that's a good thing. That's what they should be trying to do. Is that what the league is supposed to be doing, though? Is that the league's role here, is to try to do what is right for this person to kick his addiction, and if being around teammates makes that easier for him, then that's the right call here? Because I didn't think that was the league's role. The league's role is to say, here is the policy, our drug policy. Here are the penalties for violating it. Violating it once, twice, thrice. These are the steps of the punishment. I didn't know it was their role to get into rehabilitation. I didn't know they were running a Betty Ford clinic inside Cleveland Browns locker room, in the Cleveland Browns locker room. I didn't know that was the case. Apparently Stephen A. Smith disagreed as well.
Should he be allowed to be around his team during the suspension?
Yeah, I think it's a good thing.
All right, how come I can't hear Stephen A.? That's the wrong cut.
Should he be allowed?
That's the same one. We got a problem there. All right, my apologies. That's okay. Essentially, I'll paraphrase what Stephen A. Smith said there in that. Well, actually, maybe I do have it here. Hold on a second. Let me take a shot at this.
I completely disagree with you. I don't think he should have been allowed around the team. And I'm going to tell you why. Because there's a rule that's in place that states that that's not what's allowed. Tom Brady has to suffer the consequences. Now, we could sit up there and we could say, okay, Josh Gordon has a problem. He was absolutely spectacular in 2013. Had, what was it, 87 receptions, 1,646 yards. The next year, 2014, he only played 5 games. Was he injured? I don't think so. I think that had something to do with some kind of a violation. He was suspended all of last year. Why? Because they found another violation. And here he is now. Even though they're letting him back, he's going to be gone for the first 4 games of the year, just like Tom Brady. So let me get this straight. Tom Brady, model citizen and football ambassador, 4-time champion. universally recognized as the greatest quarterback of this era, one of the top three quarterbacks in the history of football. Oh, by the way, supermodel wife, the guy sit up there and rocks the Tom Ford suits just like we like to. The guy looks good. He conducts himself in pristine fashion, doesn't get into any trouble or anything like that. But because of deflated footballs, this dude is not only not playing four games, which I'm certainly, and we can get into that later because I don't have that much of a problem with that, but he's not playing football. He's not even allowed to be with his teammates. He can't even have them over his house for dinner. But a dude in Josh Gordon, who I like, but with all due respect, got some issues. And one of them is weed.
Preach on, preacher man. One of them is weed. Exactly right. A violation of the NFL substance abuse policy over and over and over. So what Stephen A. Smith is saying, I like Josh Gordon. I love Tom Brady. Ambassador of the game. One of them has not broken any laws. One of them has not been a 3, 4, 5-time violator of the NFL's rule book, substance abuse or otherwise. The other one has. One of them is being punished more harshly than the other. How can that be? The retort from Kellerman.
Stephen A. Smith, I know, consistent. Is clear thinking enough to clearly see the difference here. Between a personal a violation, which certainly isn't performance enhancing, mm-hmm. if anything, the message that the league wants to send by even testing for marijuana is it does the opposite of enhance your performance, is that it's bad for your performance, that it's bad for you.
Maybe what the league is trying to say there, Mr. Kellerman, isn't anything of the sort. Maybe what the league is trying to say is it's illegal. Getting baked is illegal. Possession of marijuana for anything other than medicinal purposes is illegal. And when you are a recreational user and have been since you were 16, this isn't about, well, it might harm your performance and we want you at the top of your game, son. This is you are breaking the law and we are going to abide by the laws here.
Tom Brady, in the opinion of the commissioner, who by the CBA has the right to adjudicate this stuff.
Yes.
Tom Brady, in Goodell's opinion, and I happen to agree with the commissioner, cheated or probably cheated. To gain an advantage. Are you going to say that there's somehow a moral equivalency or there should be some kind of league equivalency in terms of how the NFL meets out punishment between, on the one hand, a personal issue with substance abuse, which does not enhance performance, and on the other hand, a player who willfully,
just in case you were wondering.
Get him, Steven.
I know what the hell I said, and I mean it. The fact of the matter is, get him. This is the bottom line. The four-game suspension is the four-game suspension. If you are suspended for 4 games, I'm not saying that, oh, it should be the same no matter what. But if you're going to give Josh Gordon, if you want to sit there and not be as punitive against Josh Gordon as you are against Brady, then why suspend him the 4 games? Why not suspend him two?
That's a very, very good question. And that is the point that I'm trying to make. A suspension is a suspension. And that is the point that Stephen A. Smith is trying to make. And again, I have no reason whatsoever to back Stephen A. Smith other than he's right. And as a fan of the National Football League and not a fan of drugs and potheads using the weed and getting themselves baked and being stupid against the law in almost every state, even though there are a small handful of states that have decided to try to maximize other people's pain by taxing their weed and selling it legally, which is only going to create more societal discord and chaos, which they're finding out in those other states, but I digress. It is illegal, and I want the NFL to do exactly what they are doing, and that is to follow the law. And as Stephen A. Smith said, a suspension is a suspension. It should act like one.
A suspension is a suspension. And under the rules of a suspension, if
what?
You are not allowed to be on... Listen.
What are you, the suspension police?
Evidently so. Somebody needs to be it, so I'll take on the title. If they gave it to me, I'm telling you right now, if I were the commissioner, I would probably lessen Josh Gordon's suspension from 4 games to 2. But yes. While suspended, he would definitely suffer the same issue
here's the problem, Goodell.
Anybody who is suspended should absolutely remain suspended. You don't get to go to the job if you're suspended. If you're suspended, you
Why
have to stay
suspended?
Away.
You shouldn't be subjected, if you're Tom Brady, to different, more punitive rules against you compared to somebody else who's suspended. A suspension is a suspension. If you're sitting up here and you're suspended from work, guess what that means? You don't show up.
Yeah.
Now, some people might have paid suspensions. Some people might not. But guess what? You're not on the air. And in the end, what's the difference between Josh Gordon and Tom Brady? The fact is you're looking at Josh Gordon, and he is in a situation where you can't stay off the weed. Possibly the sauce, possibly something else if you're hanging with Johnny Manziel, by the way. And then you're going to turn around and just sit up there and tell me that this dude deserves more leniency than Tom Brady?
I got to tell you, you know how I am. If you've been listening to me for the nearly 2 years that I've been doing this show in Toledo, you know how I am. I will call it like I see it each and every time. I will praise when praise is due. I will rip when ripping is due. And I'm praising Stephen A. Smith today. I know a lot of people who call this show when I talk about him and this stuff. They don't like him. And they don't want to hear him, and they can't stand him. They think he's racist. They think he's this, he's that. And when he does things like that, I call him out on it. But I am praising when praise is due, and he is spot on this issue. A suspension should be a complete suspension, not a little halfway suspension, because you're running a halfway house in your club or in your locker room. And here's the last clip I'll play on this issue. This one is a keeper, and I will ask for your response to all of this in a bit.
In the judgment of the commissioner, if this individual would be helped by being around his team, in the judgment of that player, if he would also be helped with the problem that got him suspended in the first place by being around his team, and in the opinion of his team and his teammates, he would be helped by being around them. None of that should change what actually happens because of some inflexible idea of the definition of suspension.
Once again, I owe everybody an apology. I thought we were talking about the NFL. I didn't know we were talking about daycare center. I had no clue. I was lost. Somebody didn't tell me somebody did not tell me that we're talking about a daycare center. It's a grown man. And by the way, if you need to be around your teammates all the time to refrain from engaging in detrimental activities, okay, then guess what? There's no hope for you any damn way.
I got to say it again because it is deserved to Stephen A. Smith.
Can you dig it?
I can freaking dig every single word of that. If you need your teammates around you to stop you from smoking weed, from sparking up that bong again and again and again and again, then you got more problems than you're worth anyway. If you can't let the millions and millions of dollars in front of you on a contract help keep the weed out of your hands and out of your lungs, then you know what? No amount of player support or anything else is going to change what you are. I completely agree. A suspension is a suspension, and an NFL locker room is an NFL locker room. Stephen A. Smith called it a daycare center. I call it a Betty Ford clinic. It's neither. It's not a halfway house, it's not a rehab center, and it's not a daycare center. If you can't be a man enough to handle your own business on your own, that you got to be babysat by 53 other guys and a coaching staff and a front office 24/7, then you know what? Maybe you don't belong in the league. And I say that, once again, as a Cleveland Browns fan who wants to see Josh Gordon score 25 touchdowns next year. But I'm also honest, and I'm also a believer in law and order and rules. And if the rules aren't being followed, I don't care if you play for the Browns or if you play for the hated Ravens or Steelers or Cowboys, you don't get to play. That's where I am with this thing. I would love your thoughts on it, but I got to get a timeout. We'll do a Sports Center. We'll come back, shift gears a bit to college football. Hopefully Paul Keels can join us. I don't have confirmation on that yet. As we talk about the Buckeyes on Big Ten Media Day, we'll try to talk to Paul Keels. If we don't have Paul, we'll talk to you. 866-240-1065. Dial it now just in case we can get you in. Coming up next on 106.5 The Ticket.
Bob France Extravaganza, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Indeed, that's what it is, an extravaganza, each and every afternoon right here at 3 o'clock on 106.5. The Ticket phone lines are open now at 866-240-1065, 866-240-1065. Not sure if we're going to be able to get Paul Keels or not. We're going to give it one more shot. If we don't, it's okay. You're going to hear plenty from the voice of the Buckeyes tonight at 6 o'clock as we bring you the Ohio State season kickoff show. It's 2 hours from 6 to 8 tonight. If you are jonesing for Buckeye news and can't wait for the start of camp and wondering who's going to be the new stars that you're going to be rooting for as Ohio State returns only six starters from last year's Big Ten champion team. You know, this is a big deal. It's a big deal. Ohio State has got a lot of, you know, a lot of they've had for the last few years a lot of faces that you knew you could count on, 15 returning starters and so on and so forth, just six. Ezekiel Elliott is gone, obviously, among others. Is Mike Weber going to be? Remember the recruiting of Mike Weber 2 years ago? Remember the big deal as Mike Weber, the Detroit superstar who was all looking at Michigan and Ohio State, finally decided on Ohio State, and then perhaps was lied to a little bit by the recruiter at Ohio State, the running backs coach Dan Drayton, who then left, and there were some rumors that Weber felt betrayed and he maybe wanted to change his mind. Of course, he did not. Urban Meyer says that might be the starting running back now, replacing Ezekiel Elliott. So if we get to Paul Keels, we'll talk about that. If we do not, we will certainly talk or listen to him, I should say, talking about that and more coming up 6 to 8 tonight. By the way,
I will say, Bob, yes. if we aren't able to get Paul, that's because what he told me earlier today is, I might be able to squeeze you guys in, but I have no idea how some of these interviews are going to go because it is media day after all. That's part of the reason we have the season kickoff show later. So if we don't get him, guys, that's why. He's a little bit busy for things for interviews and stuff for later tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, and we have no problem. We understand the schedule that he's facing there, so no big deal at all. So we'll definitely hear from him later. By the way, speaking of media day, one more thought on college football before I go to the phones and talk about Josh Gordon and about whether or not suspended guys should be allowed to practice with their teams, etc. Media day for the MAC is coming up on Thursday, and Mark Beyer has got a great, great program for you. I cannot wait for this. A live show from MAC Media Day this Thursday at Ford Field up in Detroit. Mark, of course, is the former long, long time voice. Yes, Mark, I'm going to use four longs here. Long, 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 long time voice of the Toledo Rockets. I just aged you, sir. He'll be broadcasting live from 1 to 3 p.m. He'll focus on, of course, the Rockets, Bowling Green, as well, and live coverage from the rest of the MAC. It's powered by Brondi's Ford on C-Corp, Battery Wholesale, Great Lakes Credit Union. Transfer me to DVD and team sports only right here on Toledo's ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. All right. So you heard the fight, and it got pretty heated there a little bit, didn't it? You heard the fight between Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman today. I agree with Stephen A. Smith. No disrespect to Max Kellerman, but his little touchy-feely, this is a really personal thing, and addiction is hard. And yeah, I know addiction is hard. And there are a lot of guys who fight addiction every day, and they're making, you know, $8 an hour and trying to make ends meet. When you are facing tens of millions of dollars in contracts, and you won't put down the bong long enough to earn your money and practice and play with your team, honestly, I don't have a whole lot of use for you. I'm not going to feel really, really bad. I didn't feel bad for Josh Gordon when he got suspended for the ninth time, it seems like, going back to his college days. I only felt bad for me. I felt bad for you if you happen to be a Browns fan because you're missing one of your great players. Guy led the league in receiving just 3 years ago, receiving yardage. But I got no you know, disrespect for Max Kellerman, but I also have no use for his touchy-feely nonsense. And Stephen A. Smith is right. This is not a daycare center. I want you to hear that again, but unfortunately I've got a problem. Let's try it again. 1, 2, 3. And we are still experiencing some minor technical.
By being around his team.
There it is.
In the judgment of that player, if he would also be, in the judgment of the commissioner, if this individual would be helped by being around his team, in the judgment of that player, if he would also be helped with the problem that got him suspended in the first place by being around his team, and in the opinion of his team and his teammates, he would be helped by being around them. None of that should change what actually happens because of some inflexible idea of the definition of suspension.
Once again, I owe everybody an apology. I thought we were talking about the NFL. I didn't know we were talking about daycare center. I had no clue. I was lost. Somebody didn't tell me.
You need
that the NFL is a
daycare
center. Somebody did not tell me that we're talking about a daycare center. Okay. It's a grown man. And by the way, if you need to be around your teammates all the time to refrain from engaging in detrimental activities, okay, then guess what? There's no hope for you any damn way.
Boom. That's a mic drop right there. If you need a whole bunch of other grown men just to stop you from sparking up, then you know what? There's no hope for you anyway. How did you stop if you did? For the last year that you were away from the facility and from the team and the players, how'd you do it? If you need other people to keep you on the straight and narrow and you can't do it your darn self, then guess what? There is no hope for you anyway. I completely agree with Stephen A. Let's see what some other people think. 866-240-1065 is the number. Rashid is calling us from Toledo, and thank you for being patient there, Rashid, while you're waiting on hold. You're now on the air. Go right ahead, sir.
Yeah, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well, Rashid. Thanks for asking. What's on your mind?
Thank you for accepting my call.
Of course.
I heard that bit on Steve Smith and Max Keller.
Yeah, Max Keller.
Yeah, well, you know, them are, Steve Wright is right in terms of rules, and, you know, as far as the rules you got to apply by the, for any general occupation, you know, you got rules you got to abide by, and if
sure.
smoking weed is one, you just got to quit smoking weed, you know.
Or you lose your job. I
mean, now in terms of, now, in terms of, you know, politics and what have you, because what I see is a new culture in the NFL, basketball, baseball is starting to bloom, and it's a culture of carelessness and just being immature.
Who's responsible for that culture? Or do you mean in the players or the way they're writing rules? I'm not sure what you mean when you say
the way that they're writing rules and the way they putting them out as far as punity, you know, or punishment or what have you.
Okay.
You know, like this.
So you're talking about the collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah,
all of this stuff is spelled out in the CBA that the owners and then the players have to agree to. They all, you know, they sit down and hammer. That's how, you know, this. That's how strikes happen, or that's how lockouts happen if they can't come to an agreement. It's almost always on money if they can't come to an agreement. It's always about money. But this is part of the CBA. Is here are the rules and here are the punishments for the rules, and the Players Association signs off on those. Every time there's a CBA.
To me, the whole thing about the drug thing, marijuana and other drugs that people use in athletics and otherwise, you know, it should be like institutions set up in all them organizations that would, you know, like not like an NA or AA, but they should have some type of substance abuse counseling for them players. When they come in the league, why they in the league, and you know what I'm saying?
I think they do, though. You know what, Rashid, though? I think they do. I mean, you know, I mean, right from the moment you're drafted, you got to go into one of these weekend-long rookie symposiums where even if you've never had a problem in your life with substance abuse, that's part of the courses they make you take at this symposium about staying away from these things, whether it be recreational drugs or whether it be PEDs. They talk about how you can get trapped into these things, you can make mistakes, and you can do things that are going to end your career. And they, you know, they offer that with you right out of the gate, even if you don't have a problem. When you do have a problem, they don't suspend you the first time. You know this. They give you a warning. You are now in the program. You have to attend the same types of, you know, like you said, AA, you know, 12-step programs or whatever counseling programs you need so that you don't make mistake number two. But if you do make mistake number two, you're going to get suspended. And then if you make mistake number three, you're going to lose a whole year. And the way it went with Gordon, eventually you get a permanent ban until such time as the commissioner sees fit to lift that ban.
Wow, he's permanently out the league?
Well, no, I mean, what I mean by that is what he has just been reinstated from was a ban, which is different than a suspension. A suspension has a set beginning and an end. For example, a 4-game suspension or a 1-season suspension. What Gordon got to was the very worst it gets. He got banned from the league. You don't, in other words, there's no end to that suspension defined. It's only that ban only ends when you apply for reinstatement and the commissioner, through his sole authority and power, decides whether or not he's going to let you back in. It's not like you're after a certain time, the way it is with an actual suspension.
After coming off the suspension or the ban,
suspension.
Now he's suspended
which
again.
Which has a defined beginning and an end, right, a 4-game suspension, which is part of
conditions
for coming
help.
Back in off the ban.
Yeah, he needs help then. If they didn't exhausted all the remedies for him to get help and he's still not helping, then, you know, he needs help. He needs spiritual intervention or something.
Well, he needs, yeah, he needs anything he can get. There's no doubt about it. Remember, this isn't new for him, too. This goes back to when he was a teenager. You know, there was some, and I don't know if I have it anymore or not. I have to see if I can find the audio. But Chris Carter, the former Buckeye, who, of course, experienced his own problems with substance abuse in the NFL two decades ago, essentially. He was talking about Josh Gordon in some very stark detail, in which he said, this cat has probably been smoking weed since he was 12 or 13 years old. Because when he was in college at Baylor, I mean, he just did it and didn't stop doing it, even after being suspended, even after his scholarship was put at risk. Then he was offered a chance to go play for Utah, and the coach there said, okay, you can come play with us, but you're going to take regular tests. And he said, man, forget that. I don't want to take regular drug tests, because he knows he wasn't going to be able to stop. And he said, I'm going to go into the supplemental draft instead. And then, of course, with millions of dollars on the line, we know the story in the NFL. He continues to do the same thing. So this is a dude who needs spiritual guidance. He needs emotional guidance. He needs whatever it is you can think of he needs. But what he might not need, to be quite honest with you, is millions of dollars at his disposal.
Right, exactly.
And the same
you took the words right out of my mind. Took the words right out of my mind, man. Just giving that man millions of dollars ain't going to help, but that probably just make matters worse.
Very well may. I will say this, too. Rashid, thanks for the call, my friend. I appreciate it. Really good conversation. Here's the thing I feel bad about for Josh Gordon. You know how I said I don't feel bad for him? From a football standpoint, I don't. He's making his own life choices. But I do feel bad for him in this regard. This is a guy, and I have no idea what his personal life is like. I don't think he's married, and I don't know if he has any children or not that he lives with or doesn't live with, but his either current or future family is going to be robbed of tens of millions of dollars that could have secured his and their future because this guy just won't put down the weed. Now, I feel bad for them in that regard, okay? When he led the National Football League in receiving yards back in 2013, Jim, didn't he do it in two less games?
Yeah, he did it in 14 games.
Out of the 16 and still had 1,650 yards or whatever the number was. He might have had 1,800. He might have had 90. He might have had $2,000 for all I know if he'd have played all 16. All he had to do was stay clean for another year when his contract was up and he was going to get paid. Oh, my, he would have gotten paid. Think about that. The NFL's leading receiver? In Cleveland, without any decent quarterbacks to throw to him, and still doing those kinds of things, he was going to get paid. But the weed was more important to him than getting paid. And the people I feel bad for, like I said, is the family members of his that might be suffering in the future when they could have been taken care of for life if he'd have, of course, been wise with his money, like I hope all NFL and professional athletes are with their money. Jerome in Toledo is next. Hey, Jerome, you're on ESPN 106.5.
My friend, how are you?
I'm good, my man. What's going on?
This is one reason why I call you the hammer. The nail has been hit again. Listen.
I love you, brother. Thank you for
listen,
that.
Listen, my dad told me in life, there comes a time in every man's life or every woman's life when he's got to strap up, man up, and get out there on your own, and you will not have a safety net. You gotta listen. You're making money. You don't care about that. All you want to do is have a good time. Don't you understand? You can't have a good time without money.
That's right.
The next thing that I need Josh to know is he's stepping on a lot of toes. You have to be careful whose toes you step on today because they might be connected to the behind you have to kiss tomorrow. Okay?
I've never
now,
heard it phrased that way, but I love
it. Now, the next thing that I need him to know is that you hold your kids, your children's hand when you cross the street. I'm not holding Josh's hand. No one needs to hold his hand. Dude, you got a man up.
Well, like Stephen A. said, this is a grown man. He doesn't need,
you got,
she doesn't need you got somebody
a,
else to hold
put
his
your
hand.
Big boy pants on and man up, okay? The next thing I want you to know, Bob, you need to have some seminars and different things around here that you command and explain these things to people and let people know what's going on. Take the rose-colored glasses off. Get in the real world and handle your business.
There are a lot of very, very intelligent people who could do such seminars far better than I could. They know this stuff, and it's just a matter of getting the right people in front of them.
So I hear you every day.
Look, I got a minute left, my man, because I got to run.
Okay.
The minute I got left.
Hold on.
I want to use a minute to ask you a question and then get you an answer. To the issue at hand here, is the commissioner right by letting Josh Gordon, because he feels like he could be helped being around his teammates, help him from not reoffending and ending his career?
Is it right
to let him practice with the team?
Because
some of his same
teammates are doing the same thing that he's doing. They just haven't got caught. No, don't need to be there. Last thing that I want to say, and this is for you.
Yes, sir.
Can you dig it?
hold on. I'll help you out with that. One more time. 3, 2, 1, go. Go ahead, Jerome, you.
I was going to do it together with him.
That's okay. Thank you, my man. I appreciate it. And, yes, I can dig it. And, by the way, to the point that Jerome just made, and we got to get out of here for the Sports Center at the top, I know, but to the point he just made, he said, look, some of the teammates that are in the facility are doing the same thing he does. How is it helping to be around them? Case in point, Johnny Football. How many times did we see pictures of Johnny Football together with Josh Gordon? There were rumors they were living together. Then they tried to dispel those rumors. I don't know if they were or they weren't. But there's probably not too many people that I can think of worse for Josh Gordon to be around than guys like Johnny Football. Johnny Manziel, who's now out of the league because of his own substance abuse problems. You don't want to be around people like that. Jerome is spot on. Let's get a timeout for SportsCenter. We'll continue the conversation on the other side. Maniloff, get his thoughts on it, too, coming up right here on the Extravaganza.
Three-two, swing and a miss. Whoa, he just overpowered him with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, that was a big-time Justin Verlander heater right there. Poppy was tardy on that baby.
Strike one pitch, fly ball, left field, way back down the line. Will it stay fair? Gone, a home run! Jose Iglesias absolutely bombed it down the line over the green monster. Runners will be off of the pitch. The 3-2, swing and a miss. He got him on strikes.
97 with action. Holy mackerel, what a pitch by Justin Verlander. That's the Verlander we know.
The 1-1, swinging a soft little tapper back to the mound. And Francisco Rodriguez will throw to Miguel Cabrera, and the Tigers take game one.
Play fake. He goes up deep. Got a man open. He's got it. Josh Gordon for the touchdown. Way deep. He's got Gordon. What a catch. All the way for a touchdown.
So the league recognizing this says, okay, we hear it's actually helpful for you to be around the team. Go ahead. Get help. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I don't think he should have been allowed around the team. And I'm going to tell you why. Because there's a rule that's in place that states that that's not what's allowed. Tom Brady has to suffer the consequences. Okay, Josh Gordon has a problem. He was absolutely spectacular in 2013. Even though they're letting him back, he's going to be gone for the first four games of the year, just like Tom Brady. So let me get this straight. Tom Brady, model citizen and football ambassador. But because of deflated footballs, this dude is not only not playing four games, he's not even allowed to be with his teammates. He can't even have them over his house for dinner. But a dude in Josh Gordon, who I like, but with all due respect, got some issues. All of a sudden, usurps somebody like a Tom Brady.
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
What a fight that was that I heard between Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman. I cannot say strongly enough how much I agree with Stephen A. Smith. Welcome to hour number two of the Extravaganza as we continue right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We got a lot more to talk about, too, in this hour. We'll talk some baseball. Trade deadline is approaching quickly, 6 days away. It's next Monday, the first day of August, obviously. They extended it one day.
Right in the middle of our show at 4 o'clock that Monday.
That's right. The deadline will be when we are on the air at 4 o'clock next Monday. So we're going to talk a little about the deadline and possible trade moves between some of the contenders in the American League Central, including the victorious Tigers from last night, and, of course, the division-leading Indians trying to bounce back from a sweep at the hands of the Orioles. Eric Steven will join us at 4:35. He's the MLB editor for SBNation.com. So we'll get into all of that. Then also some other interesting college football talk. We're going to hear tonight at 6 o'clock, the Ohio State season kickoff show with Paul Keels. Urban Meyer will be a part of that. That'll be from 6 to 8. But interestingly enough, with all of the focus on safety at all levels of football, college is really taking an interesting approach here. Bob Bowlesby, who is on the competition committee, the oversight committee, I believe is how he identified it. Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner of the Big 12, said that if we could figure out a way to keep the onside kick in place, because teams do need to have an opportunity to get the ball back late if they score and they're still trailing, if we can figure out what to do with the onside kick, he said he believes that in college football there would be consensus to get rid of the kickoff altogether because of the safety factor. I want to talk more about that with you as well. But to get back to the issue at hand, Josh Gordon has been reinstated by the National Football League. Commissioner Roger Goodell says you're reinstated conditionally. You have to make sure there are no more missteps between now and week number 5 of the NFL season. You got a 4-game suspension now coming off of your indefinite ban. And once you serve those, as long as you don't have any other missteps, you can come back in week number 5. The caveat being, he gets to practice. He gets to go to film sessions. He gets to lift weights with his teammates. He gets to be in Berea, meet with his coaches, go to the camp. He gets to play in the preseason games. All kinds of things that, generally speaking, guys who are suspended don't get to do, including one Tom Brady, who doesn't get to even play catch with a teammate in his own backyard, according to the rules of his 4-game suspension. Is that fair? Is that the right call? Joining us now to talk more about that and more is Dennis Maniloff, who is a sports writer extraordinaire, as well as an author, a tremendous new book. Get it on Amazon and pretty much anywhere else you get great books. It's called From A to Z, Andrew's Disasterville. He is out in Cleveland covering the Browns and more. D-Man, how you doing, brother?
What's up, great one? How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for spending the time. I know you're busy. You're in the middle of Indians coverage right now, right? Indians and Nats going at it in the first of a short 2-gamer tonight, huh?
Yeah, Kush's first call to me was when I was still in the clubhouse. But, I had to make sure I got out of there before I returned the call.
What's the pitching matchup tonight, by the way?
You have for the Senators. The Nationals.
How old are you to make a senator slip? You're not 107.
The curly W is right. Gio Gonzalez against Salazar for the Indians.
That's a good matchup, but tomorrow's the one I'm looking forward to. Carlos Carrasco and Steven Strasburg, two of the very best. If Carrasco had enough innings in to be counted among the league leaders, he would be leading the American League in ERA with his 2.31. As it stands, Salazar leads the American League in ERA with a 2.75, going up against Strasburg, just one of the best in the game. That's going to be a jewel tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, and it's the businessman special. It's like, 12.10, 12.05? So
yeah.
Crazy two-game set. You know, they come off of an off day Monday, then they play at night on Tuesday, 12 o'clock Wednesday, off Thursday. Kind of a strange deal.
It really is, and these are the first two of a 9-game stand, by the way, for the Indians. Maybe we'll get some thoughts on the trade deadline from you at the end of this conversation, Dennis, but let's get to the issue at hand here. Josh Gordon is back. Part of the discussion now, among many in the media, and I was playing some clips from First Take earlier on this morning, and there was a big argument about, is it right for the commissioner to say, hey, Josh Gordon, you can go ahead and practice with your team and do all of the things that you would be doing if you weren't suspended. But, hey, Tom Brady, your 4-game suspension means not only can you not go near the facilities of the Patriots, you can't even have one of your teammates over and play catch in the yard. If you do that, you violate the terms of the suspension and are subject to further punishment. It's a very strange way to enforce penalties in this league from the man with all the power, Roger Goodell. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Bob, it almost feels like they're making it up as they go along. Specifically, Goodell's making things up as he goes along, kind of case by case. I think the problem for Brady and the reason that the NFL and specifically Goodell has ground the axe so hard on Brady is because they felt like he lied to them and there was some obfuscation involved. I don't think that's the case with Gordon. I don't think there was the level of, you know, trying to cover something up that the NFL feels was in play in the Brady case. But, yeah, it certainly is kind of odd that it's an interesting set of circumstances that Gordon is allowed to practice with the team.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I might dispute a little bit the part about covering up, because one of the myriad violations that Josh Gordon has been guilty of, you know, in this whole process, was a diluted sample, which they automatically then count as dirty. It might not have been dirty enough to register, but it was diluted. I mean, in other words, he used a masking agent of some kind to alter his sample, which of course they count as, you know, not only is it a dirty test, I think that is the very definition of trying to cover up something that that you did wrong.
Yeah, well, I kind of meant, you know, the ex post facto cover up. Like,
no, I know. I understood what you meant about Brady. I was just pointing out, though, that you still have kind of the same thing here. It's not only a violation of the substance abuse rules, again, in Gordon's case, but he knew he screwed up and then he tried to cover it up in another way,
right,
which to me, you know, I guess I just have a problem with these kinds of things when they're not, discipline is not applied, you know, uniformly.
Right. And I think that's probably going to be the case for the remainder of Goodell's tenure, because it seems like he doesn't have a uniform set of rules for how he meets out punishment.
You know what's weird about it, though, Dennis, is the Players Association. They have to sign off on all of this, of course, as part of the collective bargaining agreement. They voted on, they passed it. So as a league, they might not have been unanimous, but as a PA, a Players Association, they passed it. And in that collective bargaining agreement, Roger Goodell is given this wide latitude to pretty much do what he wants, including, as you describe it, making it up as he goes along. You would think that with players, some of the players being treated more unfairly than others, at least maybe in the PA, NFLPA's view, that they might be speaking out more forcefully against that and say that is something that's going to change in the next CBA.
Sure, sure. But, you know, you almost wonder if in the Gordon case, Goodell is telling the players union, hey, if you think I'm really hard on Brady, well, guess what? I'm throwing a few bones to Gordon, so don't think that I'm autocratic and mean all the time.
That's a very interesting point. We're talking to Dennis Mandeloff, who covers the Cleveland Browns, as well as all Cleveland sports out there for the Northeast Ohio Media Group, Cleveland.com, and the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Josh Gordon reinstated by the National Football League yesterday. I'm going to play a clip of this discussion that was held this morning on First Take, Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith. Max arguing that what the commissioner is doing for Josh Gordon is the right thing because it helps him. And Stephen A. saying a suspension is a suspension. Here we go.
In the judgment of the commissioner, if this individual would be helped by being around his team, in the judgment of that player, if he would also be helped with the problem that got him suspended in the first place by being around his team, and in the opinion of his team and his teammates, he would be helped by being around them. None of that should change what actually happens because of some inflexible idea of the definition of suspension.
Once again, I owe everybody an apology. I thought we were talking about the NFL. I didn't know we were talking about daycare center. I had no clue. I was lost. Somebody didn't tell me.
You need
that the NFL.
You're sensitive.
Somebody did not tell me that we're talking about a daycare center. Okay. It's a grown man. And by the way, if you need to be around your teammates all the time to refrain from engaging in detrimental activities, okay, then guess what? There's no hope for you any damn way.
Dennis Mandeloff, who's right?
What's that?
Who's right?
Well, Bob, I'm going to go with Kellerman on this one. I mean, hey, look, I understand Smith's point about how it's not a daycare center, but...
Or a rehab center.
What, or a rehab center.
Or a rehab center or a halfway house or anything else, because that's essentially what they're saying. And what Max's point is that he's got to be around these other guys in order to stay clean. Well, if you got to be around somebody else in order to stay clean, then I side with Stephen A., then you got more problems than the NFL can solve, and maybe being here isn't the best place for you. But go ahead.
All right, let me say this. I'm not as worked up about it as either one of those guys is, okay? Here's how I view the whole Josh Gordon. Number one, good news for the Cleveland Browns, all right? No lose for the Cleveland Browns. Number one, because, first of all, this regime never had him in the first place, so there's nothing to lose if he flames out. If he pans out, if he can regain his form, then they have themselves a Pro Bowl receiver at some point down the road. I'm not saying it's automatically going to happen right away this season. So it's a no lose for the Hugh Jackson regime in the rebuild. And oh, by the way, you say, well, he's going to be a distraction. Really? The distraction will last about 2 minutes because if he does anything to screw up, he's gone. All right, there's like a zero tolerance policy. There's no wiggle room on Josh Gordon. So he knows full well, and the team knows full well, that if he messes up, he's out of there. There's not going to be any lingering distractions. So it's good for the Browns. It's obviously great for Gordon that he's back in the game, if you will. And, you know, obviously, selfishly being from Cleveland, I'm glad that he's able to be around the guys, if you will. And, I mean, I don't know that he has to be, but I prefer it. I prefer him going through the structure of training camp and being around the guys than sitting at home waiting and trying to train by himself to get ready for week five, which, by the way, Bob, get your popcorn ready for game five, okay?
no kidding. Because for
we have a quarterback by the name that you might have heard of him, Tom Brady, as we just talked about. Brady returns from Deflategate. Gordon returns from whatever you want to call his gate. It's going to be crazy on the lakefront in week five.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Let me get back to the Gordon issue for just a second, because I agree with you from a selfish fan standpoint. I completely understand where you're coming from, and I don't disagree with that. And that is, I want to see my guys win, and that means I want to see my team's best players ready to go. And he can definitely prepare himself to be ready to go more playing in the preseason games, being at training camp, being at practice, more than he could trying to work out at home. I agree from that standpoint. My question is from a league-wide standpoint, is it right to basically kind of alter the terms of a suspension because you feel like this guy's addiction is so strong and so bad that he can't kick the habit on his own and he's got to be there in the facility for this to work? And how do you think that'll play out the next time there is, you know, somebody else, especially a prominent name, in the drugs program at the stage that Josh Gordon is in?
Well, I would take two approaches to that question you just raised. If I were Goodell, number one, I would say I'm looking at each case individually, and I am not, as you can see, I'm not going with a uniform a set of rules. I'm examining each individually. And so that gives me the latitude to say, all right, I can do this with Gordon, whereas I don't do this with Brady. Secondly, in the case of Gordon, okay, if I'm Goodell, I don't have to say, well, I'm keeping him around the guys to keep him clean. What I could say as a justification is I want him, being that he's been out of the game for so long, if you're going to suspend him for the first four, and you force him to stay away from the facility until he's eligible, then it's very possible he comes back and he's not in any type of football shape. And the next thing you know, the whole season's a bust and he gets hurt. So what you're doing is you're trying to mitigate the possibility that the entire 2016 season is a wash, because he wouldn't have trained properly to get ready.
I get all of that, but I guess my question is that the commissioner's purview? Is that, I mean, why should he care whether or not this guy is trained properly enough to come back and
because
not have the 2016 season
be a 2016 season? He's the ultimate hammer. He could, I hear what you're saying, Bob, but Goodell does what he does. I mean,
yes, he answers to no one, does he?
Right, there we're looking. Remember how many people said he was going to lose his job over Deflategate when it went south on him and when Brady went to court and beat him?
Right.
Oh, that's it for Goodell. I'm like, you people are crazy. This guy's not going anywhere. The only time that Roger Goodell is not the commissioner of the NFL is when he decides he doesn't want to do it anymore. All right? There's going to be no firing, no ousting of Roger Goodell. He's sitting on a pile of gold, and the owners love him. The players claim they hate him, but begrudgingly like him because he's overseeing a cash machine, and they understand that. They understand the bottom line. They look at the salaries around the league. So, you know, Goodell's not going anywhere unless he decides he's going somewhere.
somewhere.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. He certainly has the power. The only other thing that could happen, like I said, is in the next CBA. If the Players Association, tired of him making it up as he goes along, as you put it, and I think you're spot on with that, decides to significantly weaken his authority and maybe require that he no longer be the final, you know, judge, judge, jury, and executioner, as it were, on all of these kinds of things. You screwed up the Ray Rice thing. You screwed up the Tom Brady thing. You screwed up the defensive end,
Greg Hardy
thing. You screwed up all of these things. Yeah. You lost in all of these different ways. You can't be that guy anymore. And I think, honestly, that's what it's going to take, because I really don't like the idea of him making things up, even if it benefits a guy on a team that I support the way it does with Gordon. I don't like the idea of him making things up as he goes along and applying very, very inconsistent standards to suspensions. To me, if you ever got suspended from the Plain Dealer, they wouldn't let you come into work and research stories but just not get published. You have to stay the heck away from the facility, right?
Keep my mind fresh.
Yeah, exactly what I'm saying. Bobby, you know, a suspension is a suspension. You know, if a Ford factory worker gets suspended for drugs, they don't let him come in and hang around the break room and talk to the fellas a little bit while everybody else is on the line. You have to stay away. And I just have I kind of believe a suspension is a suspension, and I don't think they're treating it that way.
Yeah, my biggest disappointment in Goodell since he became commissioner, Bob, is when he seemingly was caught with his pants down regarding domestic violence policy.
Yeah, I mean, big time.
It was stunning to me that he didn't seem to know what to do where domestic violence was concerned. I'm like, if anything should be already in place, it should be a hard line policy about domestic abuse. And they seem to be scrambling to try to figure out, as you pointed out, what to do with Rice and what to do with Hardy. So that was the biggest disappointment to me.
Yeah, I think that's very true. We're talking to Dennis Maniloff, who covers Cleveland sports for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the Northeast Media Group, and Cleveland.com. Dennis, real quick, just because we're on the football topic, and then I'll get your thoughts on the trade deadline here before we let you run, and we certainly appreciate the time. Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner of the Big 12, was talking on Mike and Mike last week, and they were covering it a little bit again today, and I didn't hear it last week. I heard it today for the first time, which is why I'm reacting to it now. And I would like to get your reaction to it as well. Bob Bowlesby, talking about safety in football, which is always a concern for everybody, basically says that very evil and dangerous kickoff is something that they really want to get rid of. And they're going to do their best to get rid of. In fact, if they could figure something out about the onside kick, that they would have gotten rid of it already, or at least they would certainly have a consensus to do that. So I want you to hear this. And, Jim, I'm actually having a hard time. Oh, here it is. Take that back. Here we go. I got it for you. One more time.
If it weren't for the excitement that comes with the onside kick, if there was some other way to reconcile that piece of it, I think there would be a fairly clear consensus to do away with the kickoff.
Dennis, do you think we are moving very, very rapidly toward an elimination from the kickoff in major college football? And if so, do you agree with that?
I pray it's not the case. I'm afraid it's the case, and it's utter foolishness. I mean, when are these people going to stop meddling with great games the way they are? Baseball is a great game. It doesn't need to be sped up with all these phony, ridiculous clocks and all this other stuff. Football is a great game, in part because of special teams. When we think of special teams, what do we think of? Field goals, punts, kickoffs, okay? This idea that you would eliminate kickoffs, it's sickening to me. It's absurd. If you don't like the violence of football, then don't play the game, period. Okay? Football is a car wreck on every play. That's how it is. When you sign up to play it, or you're good enough to play it at the highest levels, meaning college or pro or CFL, what have you, you understand that that's what you're getting yourself into. And quite honestly, I love old-school kickoffs. You know, nowadays they kick them into the end zone all the time. But I love kick returns. I love the action that was involved there. Onside kicks are fantastic. Pooch kicks, you name it. But this is absurd. It's absolutely absurd. I mean, okay, so you take out kickoffs at some point. Well, what's next? What are you going to do? Are you going to take away punts? Are you going to spot a ball 40 yards down the field after fourth down? Is that the I mean, it's a slippery slope. And eventually, you know, you'll be playing touch football.
You know, the problem is, Dennis, you're right. I think that's probably next. When they were talking about this morning, Golic was bringing up stats that they have, and they find that some 30, and I don't know if it's a four-year sample size or whatever it is, but 13% of injuries that occur in a regular game, 13% of them occur on special teams plays. Now, that means all special teams plays. Punts, punt returns, kickoffs, kickoffs returns, extra points, field goals, etc. Just specialty plays. Now, I don't know how many guys are getting hurt on extra points and field goals, so you're going to kind of have to, you know, if they extrapolate that out, they're going to find the vast majority of these injuries they're talking about on special teams plays are on kickoffs and on punts. And that if they get rid of kickoffs, you know that slippery slope is going to get more slippery in within a year or two or three or four or five. They're going to say punts too. You know, you're going to declare fourth down, we give up the ball, but instead of kicking it away, they're just going to march off 45 and say, all right, you take over here, and it is. It's going to change the way the game has been played forever.
Yeah, please don't let it happen, Bob. Whatever influence you have over college football, don't let it happen.
About as much as you.
Well, here's another thing, Bob. You look at the NFL, and the jobs that would be lost, okay, because you don't need the gigantic rosters anymore if you don't have special teams. And think about great players over the years, and I don't have the names off the top of my head, but great players who started on special teams. They learned the NFL game beginning with special teams, beginning with kickoff and punt coverages, beginning with kickoff and punt blocking, and even kick returners who graduated to wide receivers. You have guys who use special teams as a springboard to their NFL careers.
Yeah, but you know what, Dennis? I'll take that a step further. Guys who didn't even use it as a springboard, this was their NFL career. You know, Desmond Howard is a Super Bowl MVP and a legend. You know, Cleveland's own, of course, University of Michigan, but from Cleveland, St. Joseph. You know, this is a guy who made his career. He never made it as a wide receiver. He came in as a number four overall pick out of Michigan with the fun bunch in Washington. Didn't catch on as a receiver, just wasn't big enough or whatever the case might be. But he had a tremendous career as a kick returner. You know, the great Mel Gray is another one. You can go down the list of kickoff and punt returners who would not have had
Billy
a choice in this
Cap.
League. Billy White Shoes, there you go. You know, Gerald Ice Cube McNeil, you know, in Cleveland. You know, there are guys who made their entire careers being kick returners or punt returners. They were extraordinarily important and dangerous weapons. You take that away, they never have a career.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but unfortunately, I think, Bob, you're right. We're going in that direction. It's a shame.
Yeah, it really is, Dennis, and I fear that is what they're going to do at the big college level, which of course is going to eventually find its way to the NFL. And you know what? To be honest, it's not to belabor it, but even at the high school level too, there are guys who might not have specific positions, but they run 4.3 40s, and they're great punt and kick returners. It could get them a scholarship. And you know what? We don't have a place for you now. We don't need a kick returner anymore. We don't need a punt returner anymore because we don't have those in our game. It's going to affect a lot of people in a lot of lives. And I think the worst part about it is, from a fan standpoint, it changes the game that we know and we love. A, kickoff returns, as you pointed out, and punt returns for touchdowns or just big gainers. One man to beat, it's one of the most exciting plays in the entire sport. And then the second thing is, as Bowlesby talked about, he talked about the excitement of onside kicks. For me, it's not the excitement of onside kicks as much as it is the necessity of onside kicks. You are essentially saying whoever is leading by two scores late in a game wins. Because if the trailing team scores once, the other team automatically gets the ball on the 20 with no kickoff and no opportunity for the trailing team to get the ball back and provide us with one of those fantastic finishes.
Right, Bob, and I know you're talking about college here when you had that. You had the soundbite with college. I keep going to the pros.
Well, I'm talking about all of it. I'm talking about all of it.
Yeah, that's eventually going to be where it ends up. But you think about, too, kickoff returns are not just about whether the guy returns it for a touchdown. Every single kickoff return has valuable field position riding on it. I mean, you think about the difference between a good offense starting at the 20 versus a good offense starting at the 30. I mean, it's only 10 yards, literally, but psychologically, it's unbelievable. when you if you give Aaron Rodgers the 30-yard line to start from instead of the 20, or even the 15 if you get pinned back there on a kickoff return. So, you know, a little bit of kickoff return yardage goes a long way in determining how well offenses perform. And, you know, so it has an incredible trickle-down effect. And just tampering with it for the sake of, you know, if you want to eliminate injuries from football, then don't play football.
That bingo.
Sorry.
Thank you. That's
just
it.
Don't do it.
That's exactly
don't
it.
Play.
And if you don't like it,
just on college football, you don't want injuries.
And if you're if you are a guy like Bob Bowlsby, if you don't want to be a part of this, then you know what? Maybe you shouldn't be a commissioner of a major conference. Just step aside, because the game is what the game is, and everybody who walks into the game knows the risks, knows the danger. They know exactly what they're doing. Just like anybody who takes a job working at a construction site and building a high rise is going to be walking 75 floors above the earth and is going to be walking on a beam 6 inches wide. He knows he may fall, and that is something he decides to do. If you don't want to be a part of it, don't go near the site. If you don't want to be a part of kickoffs, don't go near the football field. It's just that simple. Good stuff. Dennis, good stuff. Real quick, because I'm out of time and I got to get to our next guest, but do the Indians make a move before the deadline, and if so, who and what position?
Two moves, I believe. One bullpen help. They'll get a bullpen guy, and they'll get a bat in here.
Will they bring in
a guy like Jensen Lewis, but he's retired.
Will they pull the trigger on somebody big, somebody huge? It's going to cost them a lot in terms of prospects and money, like an Andrew Miller.
No, they're not getting Miller, just as they weren't going to get Chapman. But it may not be sexy names, but I think there'll be upgrades. I do believe the Indians will upgrade their roster by August 1st.
All right, good stuff. Hey, Dennis, we'll talk then around the deadline. We'll get your analysis. Sound good?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Let's get out right now. We want to talk more baseball in more depth with Eric Steven. Eric is, of course, a tremendous writer and senior editor for MLB's SB Nation site, as well as Dodger Blue as well. We'll get into that conversation next. Tigers got a big win last night. Are they going to stand pat or make a move? We'll talk to Eric about all things trade deadline related coming up right here on the
The Bob France Extravaganza, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
4:46, final segment of the broadcast. Thanks so much for being a part of it right here on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket, we're trying to make our connection with Eric Steven, and we failed again for the second straight day, I believe. So that's probably not going to happen as far as the trading deadline. The good news is we will talk with Fennec either tomorrow or Wednesday from Detroit to talk a little bit more about what the Tigers might do before the deadline. I think it really is. We talked about it yesterday briefly. I really do think it's about a third. I don't think there's any favorite, you know, as far as whether they'll make a move to buy somebody who can help them catch the Indians, to sell, to restock for the future, or stand pat. I really don't think there's a favorite there. I think that there is an equal 33% chance of any of those things happening. So that's where we are as far as baseball goes. And that's okay, because it gives us an opportunity to talk a little bit more about changes to football. And we spoke with Dennis about this, and they talked about it a little bit. And I'll play the clip here again from Bob Bowlsby. Bob Bowlsby, if you don't know, he is the Big 12's commissioner. And as part of a longer conversation on college football, which is getting started very soon, obviously, Big Ten Media Day is going on right now. Ohio State, Urban Meyer, talking to the press, talking about who some of his, guys that he's looking to replace, you know, what newcomers are going to step into those roles. In fact, there's a full broadcast we'll carry for you tonight on that, or in that regard and on that issue, and that is the Ohio State season kickoff show hosted by Paul Keels, the voice of the Buckeyes. It'll feature conversations with Urban Meyer and so many others. So all of that goes on as we get closer to the kickoff of college football, Bob Bowlsby was on with Mike and Mike. You hear that every day right here on ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. And the commissioner of the Big 12 essentially says, yeah, we are working toward getting rid of kickoffs in college football.
If it weren't for the excitement that comes with the onside kick, if there was some other way to reconcile that piece of it, I think there would be a fairly clear consensus to do away with the kickoff.
I'm with Dennis Maniloff. I think it is a terrible idea, but it's only one of a number of ideas that we're kicking around right now as far as the game. First of all, Kushlin, I didn't hear you get in on that. Do you like the idea of getting rid of the kickoff in the name of player safety? All right, Kushlin is not around. I wanted to get his thoughts on this. Let me throw the other one out there then. And that is this one. This was another great conversation. Another great conversation that they were having this morning that I really enjoyed on Mike and Mike. And that is the Canadian Football League is changing the way they work with respect to radio helmets and coaches and quarterbacks. In the Canadian, not that we really need to follow the Canadians in any way whatsoever, in truth. We really don't. We don't need to copy them for anything. Certainly not their socialized health care, but I don't want to get into that. But this is interesting to some. To some, it is an affront to all that is good and that is holy. And I'm talking about how in the National Football League, and in college football as well, in American football, the radio helmets that allow coaches to call the plays into the quarterback pre-snap, the radio is automatically cut off in the college game 10 seconds before the end of the play clock. In the NFL game, 15 seconds before the play clock runs out. And they've had a similar rule up in Canada, and I believe it was 10 up there. Well, what they're doing now, or at least they're experimenting with, is allowing the microphone to remain connected, the radio signal to remain connected from the coach to the quarterback up to the snap and up through the snap. In other words, now you don't just call the play in the huddle to the quarterback's headset. Now he's up at the line, and you can be telling him, a coach can be telling him exactly what defense that they see, whether it's a coach from upstairs relaying it down to whoever's got to the offensive coordinator to tell to the quarterback, because they can see it from the sky a lot better, you know, what coverage they're in, who's faking the blitz, et cetera, pre-snap so that they can perhaps audible, but according to the way they explained it, through the snap. In other words, your quarterback can be back in the pocket and trying to make his reads and his progressions, and he might not need to know the reads and the progressions because he might have a coordinator in his ear telling him, you know, 3-3, which might be just the, you know, a zone of the field for the deep outside third, you know, on the right side. Go to that spot. That's who's open. Or he might be yelling 2-2, which may be the flat, you know, a little dump off to the running back. Or he might be yelling, you know, even a pattern. You know, a tight end, he might be yelling, drag, drag, hit the drag, whatever the case might be. And they had a conversation about this morning that I thought was most fascinating. And Mike Golick on Mike and Mike in the Morning was apoplectic about the idea, saying that essentially this is a terrible idea, not just because it takes the competitiveness, if you will, out of the quarterback's hands, where the quarterback, you know, it has to kind of, you know, be smart enough to figure out what to do with the ball on his own, rather than being told and almost dangling on the ends of the puppet strings of the coordinator. It takes that away, which is bad from a performance standpoint. But he said also it is going to hurt the quarterback's performance because he's already trying to read things himself, and now he's got somebody in his ear yelling, yelling blitz left, go right, and it's like no, go middle. Somebody just came open. It's going to be a disaster for him. My thought was, and I'm interested in yours too, 866-240-1065, if we can get you in before the top. My thought on this is, I can't imagine a coordinator or a quarterback's coach or anybody else trying to scream instructions to a quarterback mid-play. I just can't. I don't think it'll happen. I think it would be more confusing and more trouble than it would be worth because of the confusion you would create for the quarterback, as we talked about. But I also think it would be a bad idea for this reason. And nobody talked about it this morning. I was very surprised by that as I listened. I mean, I didn't listen to the entire show, so maybe somebody brought it up later and I just missed it. But to me, the other part of this that takes the fundamental fairness factor away is if you allow the quarterback's helmet to receive the radio signal from the coach on the sideline or up in the box throughout the play, you take away a defense's ability to blindside somebody. You know what I'm talking about? Lawrence Taylor, among others, made a career out of the strip sack. How many times did he come barreling in, blindside on a quarterback, and not just sacking him viciously, but ripping and stripping the ball from him because the quarterback has no idea he's coming? And nobody brought this up on the program this morning, and I'm sure there's got to be discussion of this somewhere if anybody is considering this beyond the Canadian Football League. The mics this morning kind of figured if it happens, it's going to happen at the college level first, and then it would, you know, kind of play itself out and see whether or not the NFL adopted such an idea too. Probably true. But to me, I cannot accept or tolerate a defense being put at even a bigger disadvantage than they already are by all of the offensive protection rules. If my opponent's quarterback is he's right-handed and he's dropping back to pass, and he's looking, and here comes my outside linebacker coming from the right, or my defensive end coming in around the right side. He beats his man, and he's bearing down on his prey. And he's going to either have a strip sack or just a sack with a big hit. It could change the complexion of the game. I'll be damned if I want to have my coach or the opposing coach on the other side yelling at him, blindside, 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 just in time for him to tuck the ball away and get down and avoid a big hit and or a strip sack. Now we are really messing with the integrity of competition. Now we would have literally what would appear to me anyway to be a coach being like a 15-year-old kid sitting there with a Madden controller in his hands, and he's making the decisions for his players as he goes, instead of the player doing whatever it is that he's got to do on his own. That is what it would look like to me. And I could not abide by that. I guess I wouldn't have as much of a problem if a quarterback is on the near hash. You know, when I say near, I mean his sideline, that hash near his sideline. He might be dropping back to pass in the pocket anyway. And a coach can just yell at him because he's close enough, depending on how loud the stadium is. A coach may be yelling, you know, tight end, or flag, 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 if he sees the flag route come open, and might be just yelling to tell him what to do anyway. And that's coaching. That's okay. If you want to distract your quarterback and tell him, you know, what you see, or give him instructions, I'm okay with that to a certain extent, I guess, even if you extend that into the microphone. But the idea that in a loud, you know, in a loud stadium where you cannot hear your coaches yelling at you from the sideline, that they might be able to get into your headset, into their headset, and into your, you know, radio receiver in your helmet and tell you that the blind side, here comes a blind side hit, and thereby change the complexion of a game, that's something that I would have a problem with. What do you think about the way the CFL is doing that? I don't have a ton of time, but let's squeeze Mike in Toledo on the air real quick. Mike, thanks for getting in right before the bell here. What are your thoughts? Do you like the idea or no?
No, not at all. And I love your points, and it goes along with my point. And that is that slight hesitation that quarterback's going to hear, not all the time, but sometimes, it's going to cause injury. And I hope that is a factor for not allowing this because it separates the great quarterbacks. But the bottom line is all the things you said, defense rushing or he yells a location. Either way, it's going to cause a hesitation because he might have another idea.
Right.
And it's going to cause injury. It's the hesitation alone where he's about to get rid of the ball. He might not all of a sudden, you know what I'm saying? Leave himself vulnerable. So I agree with what you're saying, but I think injury, I hope, will be a factor in not allowing it.
That's a great point. I hadn't thought about it from that standpoint. I mean, I thought about it from the factor of confusion. It's going to create confusion in the mind of the QB, and
which causes that slight delay. And you know football, obviously, so that slight delay, you know, it'll cause a hesitation. Therefore, you never know.
That's a great point. I really hadn't thought about it from that standpoint. I'm glad you brought it up. Thanks for the call, Mike. I appreciate your last-minute contribution there. I want to have more of this conversation tomorrow. Maybe we'll talk with some of our NFL guys about it. Justin Rogers, I understand, Jim, right? We're going to talk to later in the week.
Yes, indeed. We're going to talk to him Friday, day two, I believe that will be, of Lions camp.
We may even talk about that with Paul Keels and others because, again, you know, the speculation is if it ever did come to the NFL, or excuse me, to the United States, that it would probably be on the college level before it would be on the NFL level.
Yeah, so, that'd be my guess, too.
Yeah, so on the kickoff issue and on, you know, the radio helmet issue and all of that kind of stuff, it's a very interesting conversation to have. All right, we had a lot of really interesting conversations today, to be quite honest. Really, really enjoyed it. Thanks so much to some great guests who made it on with us, including Dennis Maniloff from the Cleveland Plain Dealer.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.